Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I love the Lord our God and King. And I'm glad that He's returning soon. Really am. But more than that, He gave us time. The moment, the final moments that we have now, the final moments that we have today, God can use that. And just last night, he told me he gave me a commandment. He said, "Be sensitive around everyone, so that if he and I, as I yield myself, he'll help me to say what's necessary, that people may live, that they may be in covenant, that they may go with him in the rapture." And you know, there's things that I didn't know about the rapture. And I was watching Pierre Stone one day. He said that the rapture is for those who are overcomers, those who are ready. Christ Jesus said, those that are ready when he returned. He gave us a representation of 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. So all Christians will not go in the rapture. Those that are ready will go. Those that are caught off guard will go. Those that are ready when they are caught off guard will go. This is no time to fall short. This is no time to do wrong. This is no time to choose the path of the world at any for any reason at any moment. But this is the time, you know, I expect people to know that. And I don't like to talk to people like they are dumb and stupid. But this is no time for those things. But it's also a time to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Those that are faithful in these moments will be leaving with the Lord when he returns to take us. He's going to meet us in the air. And you know, he has to meet us in the air because of his great glory. If he came to earth, people would die. People don't understand the glory. Men that are anointed, even though they are anointed, they do things in the flesh sometimes. They do things wrong sometimes. But they don't die. That's because the anointing, you know, it's not as great as the glory. But when you're in the glory, you don't do wrong. You will die. The priest, when he would go in the Holy of Holies, that's where the glory of God was. And they had to tie a rope to his ankle. And he had bells at the bottom of his garments. If the other priest didn't hear the bells, they just drug him out. They knew he died. So as long as they heard those bells from time to time, they knew he was living. But when they stopped hearing the bells, they couldn't go in there and see if he was dead. But if they didn't hear the bells, they just pulled the rope and dragged him out. He was a corpse. Even people that's washed in the blood, if they get in sin and the glory come, they will die. But we're going to be attracted to the glory. And most Christians will worship God and enjoy his presence. And some people, when worship is going on, they don't worship God. If there's sin in your life, it's an interruption. It's important to be ready to walk into the Holy of Holies. That's what you're doing when you're going up in the rapture. You're preparing your life so that you can go into the glory, into the Holy of Holies, boldly before the throne of God, without sin, without fear. And this is the model of how we're going to live. And Jesus taught us how to do it in his address to the 7 churches, our first love. The theme of what he said was the first love. The 2 churches he didn't have to rebuke had their first love. Not only that, your first love should be your worst love, because you're supposed to grow from glory to glory. You ought to at least have your first love. That was the state of being when you wanted to do whatever it took. Because of that great love of God and compassion in you, you wanted to do whatever it took. You wanted to win souls. You wanted to be a blessing. You wanted to be involved in the handiwork of God, because you had His peace and you didn't have the weight of sin anymore. You felt light as a feather in your heart. Sometimes you felt like you could fly. I've been there, I know that. That's why I kept wanting to go in His presence. And I don't want to like anything in the world. I use Charles Capps' Confessions to get over those things. Temptations will come. All forms of temptations came my way. Some were easier than others to destroy. Some were harder than others to destroy. But I decided that I wanted it out of my life, and I was going to find out how to do it. And I asked the Lord to help me do it. And that's the other key, doing things in God's strength. If I do it according to the Word, I'm using His strength to do His will. My strength was too inadequate, wasn't good enough. And some people are trying to live right in their strength, and they're frustrated. Sometimes people are trying to do all they know to do right, and they're jealous of the world. They wish they could do what the world's doing and still be in Christ. Or they miss doing what the world... I left the world because I didn't want that bondage. You know, it's like being a fly being set free from a spider's web. I don't want to go back to that sticky web. I want to live. I found life in Christ. And I knew that if I go down the path of the world, I was going to be destroyed. And I didn't want to be destroyed. And I don't want my children to be destroyed. I don't want to smell like Satan in God's nostrils. I want to be like Jesus. And that's precisely what Jesus came to do. He helped us to come. He blessed us to come and be just like Him. God always wanted man to be just like Him. I even had a message saying, I want to be just like God. That's what Satan said. But Satan wanted the power. He wanted the recognition of God. He wanted to be worshipped as God. I want to be like the character of God. I want to live honestly. I want to live by His love. And I want to speak His language. I want to be all that He created me to be. I want to live and honor Him. I want my whole life to be worship. Whatever I do, I want it to be worship. Everything. Everything of God, I want it to be right. So you can, and this is yours. God created you to enjoy life. Now, even when you're enjoying your life, that's worship too. People may not consider that as worship, but it is. Sometimes I'm driving the car He blessed me to get. And I thank Him for it. I always thank Him for it. And I mean it. I love my wife. She gives me good advice. She's got my back. And the Lord told me she would have my back, and she does. He told me that before we got married. Gave me a poem. And she does. She's a good woman. I love her. And I thank God for her. And she's been a tremendous blessing. So as you honor God for the blessings that He gave you and the people in your life, that's worship. When you treat them right, that's worship. When you seek Him to do right by them, that's worship. And when you're a true friend, that's worship too. When you work as under God on your job, that's worship. You can't tell me it's not worship. You're doing what's right in the name of Jesus. when you see somebody struggling and they're in need and you can help them, and you help them, that's worship. You live in the intentions of God, and you become an extension of God, a representation, a representative of Father God. That's a blessing, and it's worship. It's showing people who He is. It's honoring His name, honoring His character. When you walk in peace, that's worship too, because you're aligned. You know, the Lord recently taught me that peace, when you have peace, you're aligned with the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, all working together. And when you have faith, you're putting a demand on earth. You're putting a demand on earth. You're increasing heaven's will on earth. You're bringing the ways of heaven on earth. Faith is the conduit that it comes through. And trust introduces you to the harmony of God's will, the blessings of God's will. When you trust God, and then if you trust Him and act on what He said, you're living beyond your own knowledge. God has knowledge. And when He say do something and you do it because He said it, you're having faith in something you could not have known, but the Lord told you. And when you cooperate and speak it and do it, you're bringing more of God's knowledge on earth. See, you can study the Word, you'll gain so much, but the Holy Spirit can give you a direction. When you take that direction through trust, you're extending. You're living beyond. You're living in His strength. You're going forward. So when people don't trust God and they try to stay in a comfort zone, they're not growing. They're not extending. They're living in a grace or a glory. But when there's more glory to be utilized, they're not doing it. And then because they didn't do it, they're not going to learn what will happen after they do it. So they don't know what God is fully capable of. They're staying in a comfort zone. And if they play with the world, they're hard to get hard against the progress they already made. But if you keep the world out of your life, you won't have the influences to not go forward. Now, what if you always promptly did what God said do in accuracy? Your life would manifest the glorious presence of God in a lot of other, in greater ways. Now, this is what you have to do. The enemy speaks too. You got to weed out his voice. You got to keep his voice at bay. Now, I'm going to tell you how I do it. I fill my heart with the Word of God so that I can live in His strength, so that I can easily be adjusted, so that I can easily go forward. Adjustments have to be made because we think whatever's important to us, it's on our mind, it's in our heart, and we focus on it. But when we need to be doing something else, we're still focused on whatever is important to us. So I need the Lord to help me stay in the center line, walking right behind Jesus. Now, my pastor said he likes to walk a few paces just behind Jesus, and so that when Jesus turns, he can turn with him. He learned that from Kenneth Hagin. That's the way to do it. Adjustments need. You can pray for adjustments to be made. Lord, help me do all that's in your heart. Help me make whatever adjustments I need to make. And by the grace of God, He will give it to you. He will help you. He loves us, and He cares about us in every way of life. He wants us to know Him. You can't do this having other gods before you. Get rid of that. Don't fear others. Don't fear losing people. Don't fear anything. You can pray and protect all of your people The protection of your people is just a prayer away, because angels are around. And you can, and by your influence, you got influence. Use it. Do what God do, would have you do in their sight. But full time. The only way to do it in their sight is to do the things of God as a way of life. Live your life as worship to God. Live your life as worship to God. And you'll do what's right in their sight. They'll know your standards. They'll know what you stand for. They'll know your will. And they won't come to you with foolishness when they know you're steadfast. They'll try to hide it from you. But whatever you say has more weight because you said it, because you live for God and you're wise. And when the enemy comes to rebut everything you say, they'll see the difference. You can protect people by your life of worship, because they need light to see and judge. When they have the light of God's word, they have something to judge the world by. They'll say, God is good, the world is bad, it's not doing me right, I want to do what God says. They'll come to their senses, or they're more apt to come to their senses. And they'll become less likely to be foolish. People can be foolish, but you can be wise. And when they're being foolish and you're wise, they're in darkness, you're in light, and the difference will be made by all. And people will see that, hey, this works, that don't. So it's time for you to go forward, utilizing the final moments. Remember, in the final moments, the last hour, a lot of people are going to get saved, because people are going to become preachers. And the people that were, you know, they see the enemy, he tried to network the church and leverage the church with doctrines of devils. And I don't have but a few minutes to explain this. But the narratives of denominational church, of every church, the narratives that they stick to and cling to and hold on to. If you don't preach like what people are used to, they won't listen to you. So a lot of them won't. You got to stick to that narrative. Then they'll receive. Then they'll listen. A darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness to people. It already happened. Isaiah said it would happen millennials ago, about 2,000-3,000 years ago. Many centuries ago, he said this, and it happened. And it's already done now. So if you go to a church, a First Baptist, a Methodist, or even sometimes a Pentecostal church, and teach, you just teach whatever God give you boldly, and you'll see what I'm talking about. If you teach exactly, precisely what Jesus said, some people will amen you, and some people they won't receive it. If the pastor don't receive it, they won't receive it. If they've been hearing the same thing a long time and they believe that too much, they're not going to receive. They'll do just like the Pharisees did. When the word came to them, they didn't know it. I have been in God's presence, received a message. It was wise, it was holy, and it was full of love. And I would teach it, and people would look to see if the pastor agreed. And people that had been in that denomination a long time, some would receive it. God always got a remnant. But it's hard to break through indoctrination. You have to break through indoctrination. And that has limited the church miserably. They are miserable. And because they're indoctrinated. God will help you break through indoctrination. And every church has some indoctrination, some indoctrinational problems. even if they're doing the right thing, but staying the same. It's the way that they think and process. Now, the love of God takes you beyond all that. When you trust God, He'll help you overcome the shortcomings, the little foxes that spoil in the vine. And it's not that you know more than others. It's just when God is trying to reveal something that's necessary, the reason people don't follow through is because of they believe something else more. It's not a slight, but the enemy is, if you trace it back, why won't people jump over this hurdle? It's because the enemy has leveraged people. See, when I was growing up, the denominational churches, you go to seminary and get trained the way they want you to be trained. Then you stick to the narrative. Then you pastor a church and you live in the parsonage. So now if you deviate any kind of way, you don't have a place to live. And a lot of people wanted to just, a lot of pastors at bigger churches, they wanted to just be full-time ministry. And that was a goal of most preachers. They love God so much, they wanted to preach His word. But now, if you change the narrative, you just have to find you another job. And that's not the way it should be. We ought to be ever progressive and growing from glory to glory. So a lot of people, they wouldn't just bow down to Baal. They continue to grow. And when you preach at these churches, they don't, they won't allow you to preach. So a lot of people, some people, they just do the best they can. They live and they're preachers. They don't preach much. So now there are people out there that love God and they have been growing from glory to glory. And God's going to, He's going to deploy them all at once. And many souls will be won. And they're not going to make the mistakes of their forerunners. And we're out of here. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout it, and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. And that is a remnant that lives a life of worship. And I thank God that you're one.